Thursday, October 9th, 2008. Parallels across the globe. The response of the Chinese Nationalist Party, KMT, government to the melamine scare is in some ways analogous to the U.S. government's reaction to the problems in its banking sector. In both situations, domestic and foreign companies exploited a lack of regulation in an environment of institutional corruption to base the largest part of their profit margin upon practices that were unsound and, in terms of market stability, unsustainable. When Sanlu Group executives decided to add melamine to milk to artificially raise protein readings and cheat the market, they turned the company into a sociopathic entity acting purely to sustain itself, and one that operated outside of the social contract and acceptable business ethics. That the Ministry of Health raised the level of acceptable melamine in products from 0 parts per million, ppm, to 2.5 ppm as a response to the exposure of the scandal is, and I reserve the right to be wrong, a knee-jerk reaction because the minister feared that actually enforcing the 0 ppm standard would not only mean an effective boycott on a whole range of goods from China, but also seriously threaten domestic producers who may not have been meeting the standards for years. In the U.S., taxpayers have now been asked to pay out $700 billion to rescue a financial sector that has imploded under the weight of buying on the never-never and gambling with people's mortgages and pensions. Before the crash, financiers were the first to insist on deregulation and freedom of markets. This hegemony of neoliberal economics has been exposed as a sham, because the same people now say that the crash represents the failure of markets, not the people that comprise them. It seems some markets are more equal than others, and if they were to fall, governments fear that the whole house of cards would tumble too. What is most striking, however, is that both the U.S. and Taiwanese governments have in their own way put the interests of businesses before public security and safety. If in these democracies the influence and weight that the wealthy exert on the political decision-making process is disproportionate to that of the least wealthy, some citizens are more equal than others. When corporate interests capture the agenda of a state and then act in a way that undermines the social contract between citizen, government, and market, the integrity of the democratic polis is compromised. Luckily, some companies, like the Taiwan High-Speed Rail Corporation, have high standards and act as a beacon for others by showing that the extra expense is worth it to a business since it almost guarantees customer satisfaction and trust. If the KMT and Chinese Communist Party want business as usual, they may find the market to be uncooperative, as at least in Taiwan, freedom of information is likely to result in consumers making better choices. Perhaps then Taiwanese will defend their sovereignty and their health through their purses and wallets in the face of a national government that is a closed shop to their concerns but open for business.